Joining us on the official Raiders podcast is Jay Binkley. Not only does he have a really successful show in Kansas City on 610, he's also the host of the Kansas City Chiefs postgame show. And Jay, here we go again. We've been on each other's radio shows over the years. This game actually means something. I tend to think it's a playoff game. Winner move forward, loser go home.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And it's so exciting that this game means something for not one team, but both these teams. I mean, Raiders week in Kansas City is always a big thing. It's a bigger thing with us, the fans and the media, and I think the people that are from here, than the actual players that played all around the country. Now they're a Kansas City Chief. But I know this game's important in Oakland. It's important in Kansas City. It's a rivalry game, which is what you like sports for. But, yeah, I'm with you as far as the playoff team. The Chiefs are sitting pretty at 6-5. Guess what? I lost to the Raiders. They're both 6-6.
Yeah, and then we start talking about tiebreakers down the road, and I've said it before, I think the Raiders need to sweep Kansas City, not saying it's going to happen, but you're at this point in the schedule, if you're still alive in the wild card, and you're not going to chase down Denver to win the division, you got to look at the teams that you're competing against. When we get back to the Chiefs, what has clicked with this team from the slow start to five wins in a row? What's been the takeaway from all these successive wins?
Yeah, it's not only that, JT, but they've won those huge tiebreaker games. You're talking about that. They have it now with Buffalo. They have it with Pittsburgh. They have it with Houston. That's what's so important. But what's clicked is the defense is finally turned around from it. So bad early in the season, they didn't have a nickel corner. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Andy Dalton were picking on where we're supposed to have a nickel corner, and it wasn't working. The Chiefs' defense was a complete mess. But that's when things started to turn around. You look at this winning streak that they're on. The two games that they lost right before the winning streak, they give up 18 points to the Bears at home. Jay Cutler scores a touchdown at the end of the game. That's what gave them 18 points. They go on the road to Minnesota, lose the game, but give up only 16 points. So they went on a 6-7 game stretch here where they've been the fewest points against in the NFL. This is where the money is with the Chiefs. These are where the number one picks are. The number one picks are on defense, and eventually, if you're spending your number one picks on defense, they've got to materialize and play well, and they have. Justin Houston wasn't the number one first-round pick. Let's face it, he essentially is. Had a little problems there at the combine, got moved back to the third round. This guy's a first-round pick, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's where the money is. It's where the picks are. This is where the Chiefs are. They're about defense.
Yeah, and isn't it at the linebacker core when everyone's healthy in the pass rush with Houston, Johnson, and the rest of Tamba Ali? This is a team that comes after you in waves, and I think this is one of the concerns for the Raiders, but a positive for the Raiders has been the offensive line, their ability to pass protect for Derek Carr, but clearly Kansas City's strength is they don't have to blitz all the time. Just their basic pass rush is good enough to get to the quarterback the last 5 weeks.
You know what really is, JT, and one of the things is they're missing Alan Bailey. He's been active with the Chiefs, hadn't even practiced, and hasn't played the last 2 weeks. People may not know Alan Bailey when you think about guys that can get to the quarterback, but a 4-3 defensive end that's so good against the run that they paid money last year to keep him. He had 4.5 sacks before he got hurt. And keep in mind, the 4-3 defense, you ask the, or a 3-4 defense, the defensive end, you don't ask him to get to the quarterback. That comes from the outside linebackers, but he gives you push. Dontari Poe in the middle gives them push. Jay Howard, they can push you in the middle and the outside. But Justin Houston, with the injury last week, it might just be Tamba Ali, who's on his last legs, who probably wasn't even going to be brought back to Kansas City this year because D Ford, their number one pick last year, was supposed to be the guy. He's been hurt the last couple of weeks. He's also a backup still, hasn't materialized. But the pass rush is what's been helping the Chiefs secondary. Very interested to see how this defense can go forward without Justin Houston. I'm definitely not expecting him to play this week. Might be a few weeks, but Tamba has come alive. For an old man, he's got 3 sacks the past 2 weeks, but the pass rush helps the secondary. It's why the Chiefs have been winning, is that defense has been so good, especially in turnovers. Last year, they were terrible, tied with the Jets, only 13 takeaways on the season, dead last in the NFL. Right now, they're second in the NFL in giveaway takeaways at +12. They've been taking the ball away And that's been the biggest difference.
Jay Binkley is our guest from 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, host of the Day Shift, and also hosts the Chiefs postgame show. Last year when we talked about that game for the Raiders, looking for a win in the rain, Latavius Murray on the ground, the Raiders were desperate to win a game last year. It wasn't a playoff contender or a team trying to take that next step. When you look at the Raiders this season from Kansas City, and it's Raider Week, and the hatred that the fans have for the Silver and Black, talk about Carr to Cooper, the play of Crabtree, and what you think about the improvements to the Silver and Black since last year.
Well, I knew the minute that Jack Del Rio was hired, we even talked about it quite a bit. It's like the Raiders, they've got a head coach to put things together. They got the glue for this team. Derek Carr is somebody that we would trade, or I would trade Alex Smith for in a heartbeat. Derek Carr showed something in that Raiders game against the Chiefs last year when he drove the team down. Alex Smith not able to do it at the end. Derek Carr was. The Raiders have a quarterback in place in that division. Everybody in this town knows that Amari Cooper, I think, was a tremendous draft pick. Love watching this guy at Alabama. He gives them a real threat. To me, you're looking at the number one combination quarterback to wide receiver going forward in the AFC West the next couple of years. I would love to give it to Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin, but Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball downfield. So, yeah, we look at that combination of Carr to Amari Cooper, and he's going to be a stalwart in the AFC West for years to come. But I think the people look at the Raiders much differently now. This is a team going in the right direction. It was always going to be a matter of time till that team turned around. And Jack Del Rio, tremendous hire at head coach for Oakland, has that team going in the right direction. But there's a healthy amount of respect for the Raiders here in Kansas City. We know that this team is a good challenge.
Jay, I have a lot of respect for Alex Smith because he has a journey to talk about. Number one pick overall, the struggle, some of the success in San Francisco. I wouldn't compare him as a poor man's Rich Gannon, but Gannon needed to get out of Kansas City to have success. He turned into an MVP, and Rich didn't throw a deep, deep ball. He threw underneath a lot. Then he threw those great 30 to 40-yard balls where the receivers ran the rest of the way. What's the story with Alex Smith? Now that he's got Jeremy Maclin, and Macklin's coming off a monster game last week, are they connecting to the point where that's a duo that will be around for a long time? And the way that Alex Smith protects the football, he's not going to put up the numbers of Roethlisberger or Brady. But, wow, when he has a good, solid game and doesn't turn it over, Kansas City's got a chance to win every game.
Yeah, he's been solid for the Chiefs. In last game, he did look good. But I will caution, he had almost three pick sixes that were dropped, including one at the end of the game. But I will say this, the connection with Maclin is better. But you look at the stats, Alex Smith is always one of the – he only had three passes, past 30 yards all season, had three of them in the Buffalo Bills game. They finally are starting to go downfield. They showed the tendency to do that. When you get the protection, the offensive line for the Chiefs has been much, much better over the past 5 or 6 weeks. They've been better. But Alex Smith has the Chiefs record for most passes without interception. And he's closing in on the NFL record as far as that concerned. But I always tell people, just caution that. Take that with a grain of salt, because when you throw a ton of screens and you throw the short passes, your tendency to throw interceptions is not going to be there. Jeremy Maclin is finally what the Chiefs needed at wide receiver. And I'll be honest with you, JT, as far as the skill set, he's right up there. You think of Otis Taylor, the great Chiefs wide receiver. They didn't have anybody else. This team has guys in Canton that were linebackers. And the running backs for the Chiefs have always been what people are talking about, are the offensive line. Wide receivers are not one of them. You go back to Stephon Page or Carlos Carson in the 80s, or maybe an Eddie Kennison under Dick Vermeil for speed, but he finally gives the Chiefs a formidable weapon as a number one wide receiver. Their problem is they can't develop a number two wide receiver. That goes on the shoulders of Travis Kelce, the tight end, who's really emerging into a threat. But Alex Smith is a guy that takes care of the football. He's taking a few chances. He needs to take much more. You throw the ball down the field, you draw that pass interference, you throw it to that back shoulder, you either get the PI, it goes out of bounds, and he is actually taking chances downfield, which you have to do, because I think people are still respecting the Chiefs running game, and it's always been there. Jamaal Charles has seen eight guys in the box when he's been playing. Sure, Kendrick West and Spencer Ware are seeing the same thing. Take advantage of it. If teams are going to put it in the box, go on the top of them. The only time we really saw it last year was the Raiders game in Kansas City when they were throwing the ball downfield. That's been the biggest complaint. Alex Smith must start taking some chances.
Jay, finally, to win the first game against the Texans, lose five in a row, and now to have a playoff spot secure, at least coming into this game, without Jamaal Charles. You talked about the injury to Houston. What a job. Let's wrap it up with Andy Reid and this coaching staff. We often talk about on our own radio shows about teams that throw in the towel. I'm looking for that every day on my show in the NBA and baseball when a team says, put up the white flag, we're finished. Why did that not happen with the Kansas City Chiefs under Andy Reid, especially when Jamaal Charles went down?
That's the greatest question. I've been waiting for that myself. When you're 1-5, all of a sudden is that switch go on where players are going to start looking at individual numbers and stats instead of the philosophy. But this team didn't quit on Andy Reid. It's one of his finest coaching jobs, to be honest with you. Yes, I know that he had a 5-game losing streak. You still have to consider that in the grand scheme of what the 2015 season is. But Andy Reid, when he got here, he hires great assistants. I mean, Bob Sutton is doing a tremendous job as defensive coordinator. Dave Tobes, one of the finest special team coaches in the country. Eric Bieniemy, one of the best running back coaches. You have good assistant coaches when you're a guy like Andy Reid, you hire well. But one thing about the guy, he's not fiery. He's not going to motivate you when he's talking or doing press conferences. But this guy leads this team. They don't quit on him. It's unbelievable what the Chiefs have done. Only one team has done that. What, the 1970 Bengals, as far as being 1-5 and coming back and being in a playoff spot. But Andy Reid's got a no-quit attitude, man. I got to give this team a lot of credit stepping up. Sir Kendrick West, Spencer Ware, these guys are stepping up for Jamaal Charles. I think Andy Reid has coached harder without Jamaal Charles being that security blanket in the backfield. But, yeah, hats off to Andy Reid, Big Red, for keeping this thing together.
Jay, great catching up with you again. Thanks for joining us on the Official Raiders Podcast. I love coming on your show. This is a big one, rivalry week. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, JT, take care, my friend.